If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 8. This morning, I just want us to look at one thing. And that is, no matter what is going on in your life, whether you are in that pit, which I'll talk about later, or wherever you find yourself, you need to know that God, the Almighty God, is working behind the scenes in your life. Hallelujah. You know, most of the time, the enemy blinds us. We can't see, even when it's clear to us, what God is doing. And I want us to consider that this morning. So I read from 2 Kings chapter 8 from verse 1. It says, "Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, 'Arise and depart with your household and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And at the end of the 7th year, when the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Now, the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, 'Tell me all the great things that Elisha has done.' And while he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appeared to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, 'Oh, my lord, king, oh, king, here is the woman, and here is her son whom Elisha restored to life.' And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed an official for her, saying, 'Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields from the day that she left the land until now.'" Hallelujah. Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields from the day that she left the land until now. Father God, thank you that you are in the business of restoring what belongs to your people to them. And today we pray that you open our eyes and strengthen us to know that whatever the enemy has stolen from us, you are going to restore for us. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, and for that matter, his life is taken away, Lord, you will restore them to salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this morning. Be with us, O Lord. Amen. You know, many times the enemy comes, and at one point or another, the question comes to you, maybe from a neighbor. Something is happening, and they say, "Where is your God? Where is your God?" You know that sometimes, even ourselves, in the heat of things, we say, "Now, where is my God?" It's the work of the enemy. Because the enemy is trying whatever he can to make sure that your faith shakes. And we live in a world that we want to see tangible things, manifestation, things are happening. And so if you happen to be in a church when things are not moving, people begin to ask questions. And there are a lot of Christians who have made mess of their lives because they walk off to places where things are happening. But God, not all the time, manifest things. But sometimes, even in whispers, he does mighty things. Sometimes, in your situation, in the calmness of things, he blows a soft wind and things happen. One thing we need to acknowledge, that our God is in the business of moving behind the scenes and doing wonderful things for us. Hallelujah. You know, even in the Bible, when you read about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. He went to the man of God, Elisha, and he says, you have leprosy. All that you have to do is go to River Jordan 7 times. And this man was very cross with the prophet. Why? The Bible says, but Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he will surely come out and come to me and stand and I call upon his name and wave his hands and put his hand on the leprosy and everything goes. God doesn't do that all the time. But when this man went into Jordan 7 times without anybody touching him, leprosy went. Our God is in the business of working behind the scenes. Psalm 42 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. When they say to me continually, where is your God? When you get to verse 10, it says, and with deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, where is your God? Now, I want you to know one thing. The psalmist, as he's saying these things about what people are saying about him, then he turns to himself and say, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Amen. That's where God wants us to be. That we do not look into the things around us and what people are saying, but know that our God, even in the situation we find ourselves in, is behind the scenes doing something wonderful. This morning, there are 3 things I want us to take note of. This. Number one, that God works behind the scenes to control this world that we are living in. Number two, that God works behind the scenes and uses our unseen faith. Because sometimes when somebody asks you, where is faith? You don't know what to touch. You don't know what to say. It's unseen. But he uses it to order our lives. And thirdly, God works behind the scenes to restore what we have lost and what belongs to us. These are the 3 things I want us to see this morning. And I will conclude saying that, and we know that for those who love the Lord, all things work together for good. Number one, God works behind the scenes to control the world. In this passage that we read, the Bible says, and Elisha went to this woman and said, arise, get up and depart, you and your household, and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. Amen. God that we serve has got power to call things into being. Whether you may see it as good or bad, he's got the power to do that. And most of the time, we forget about who our God is. And so the enemy is able to squeeze us. I was telling someone that if you are not careful, if Jesus is standing here, or God is standing here, and the devil is standing there, and we ask you to choose, for fear of the devil, you will choose the devil. Because you are afraid of what he will do to you. But you forget that God has power over the devil. There are some attributes. I want to mention 3 attributes that we need to take note as we look into this scripture. There are 3 attributes I want you to take note. There are so many attributes about God. God is omnipotent. That's a big word. But if you have King James Bible, in King James Revelation 19, it says, alleluia, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Our God Almighty. Whenever you hear Almighty, it means our God is the ruler of all things. He's got all power. All power belongs to our God. I don't see a king who has got all power and is so happy that enemies come and take captive his royals. I don't think so. Any king, even in this world, that will say, I'm so happy that people came and they took everybody from my palace. Oh, enjoy. No king will ever do that. How much more our Lord God, the all-power God, will say, just take my people. It's the enemy who puts fear in us. So our God is all-powerful. Have that in mind. The theologians also say that our God is omnipresent. That means, and learn this, that means our God is present everywhere at the same time. Sometimes we think the enemy is everywhere at the same time. I'm telling you, the enemy can be at one place at a time. And that's why he's got agents, demons, that he uses them. Job says, there was a time the people of God met and God was there. Satan went and they asked, where have you been? He says, I've been to and from. Because he can't stay at one point. So he goes to India. Oh, hey. Then he writes, he's going all over to and from. But our God Almighty is everywhere at the same time. And he hears and he sees. And this is what the psalmist saw in Psalm 139. Let me read the verse 7. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Our God is a spirit and his spirit is everywhere. Do you know that God has created something that is everywhere? Scientists, people say nature hates vacuum. Everywhere you go, there's air. You know that? Air is all over. Our God is more powerful than air. He's everywhere at the same time. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me and the light abound me in the night, even the darkness is not dark to you. For night is as bright as day. For darkness is as light in you. Hallelujah. That's our God. You need to know God is everywhere. Sometimes that's why the enemy gets us. He says, no, nobody is here. No one can see you. Do it. But God sees everything. And our God is everywhere. For me also, what? The third thing. So our God is omnipotent. That is all powerful. He rules everything. Our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. The word science. He's all knowing. He knows everything. Everything. Our God knows. There's nothing that our God doesn't know or hidden from him. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 20, it says, for whenever our hearts condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And he knows everything. Even that same Psalm 139 that I read, if you read the first part, it says, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Each one of us sitting here. You know, there are times we are so hypocrites. I'm number one. And you want everybody, this is me, this is the angel. Yet, I know at the back of my mind the things I do. If I know, God knows more than I know. You know, God reads beyond that. There are certain things that you know, you need, you don't even know, but God knows. And so, you know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. You know, there are times you say, you want to say something and you withdraw. God knows what you are going to say. Exactly. Sometimes you say it halfway and you pull it. God knows. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it all together. You hand me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Hallelujah. And so, God knows everything. Psalm 44 says, verse 20, if we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands in a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the hearts. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so, this is our God. He is almighty, that is omnipotent. He is everywhere, omnipresent, and he knows everything, omniscient. But you know, the enemy sometimes comes and deceives us. Sometimes he makes us think that God cannot take care of us. And so he suggests what he can do for you. There are times, especially in the area of money, the enemy can drag you. And that's why the Bible says the love of money, just the love for it, is the evil. And the other time when I was preaching about money, there's this scripture I stumbled across, and every now and then it comes to me. Proverbs 23 verse 4, about money specifically, why we should not rely on it. He says, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. There's a version of the Bible called God's Word, and I like the way it puts it. It says, do not wear yourself. Don't get tired yourself getting rich. Be smart enough to know when to stop. It should be a time when you say, I've had enough, and stop. Why? Will you catch only a fleeting glimpse of wealth before it's gone? It makes wings for itself, and like an eagle, it flies into the sky. I had an uncle, one of the richest men in Ghana. He had money, and he could do anything. One day he woke up, and it was gone. It was gone. We need to know that. So, let's know that our God controls everything, including our lives. He knows what is best for us. Let's yield to him. Number two, we need to know also that God works behind the scenes, using our faith to order our lives. And this is the story that we are looking at with this woman. God doesn't come like an iron man. You know, you want to see, yeah, then you clap for your God. God doesn't do that. Or any of the heroes that we know. Because we watch too much movie, we transport it into the church and want God to be a movie star. God is not. That's bad news for you. He's not. But he works behind the scenes and he orders your life. For us to understand this story very well about this woman we are talking about, let's turn our Bibles into 2 Kings chapter 4. Because you'll get the full story of what we are talking about here. Here, we are saying, Elisha comes and says, hey, woman, get up, go to another land. Because for 7 years, there will be no rain, there will be famine. And then after 7 years, you can come and all that. But who is this woman? There are some things we need to learn from so that we can see God orders our lives. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived. And look at this. We are talking about the Old Testament time. And the Bible says, this woman was wealthy. She had money. Who urged him, the woman, urged the man of God to eat some food. Whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, the woman said to her husband, behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. This is the same woman we are talking about in chapter 8. But I want us to get the story behind. One day, he came, that's the man of God, there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken to the king on your behalf? Or the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. Meaning, I don't need anything. I'm okay. Then, so verse 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, well, and this is one thing we need to take note of. Sometimes we think we don't need anything, but God knows something. Well, she has no son, and her husband is old. Can you read in between the lines? This woman is rich. She's got money. She can take care of anybody. She has no child. And unfortunately, the husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the doorway and he said, at this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, oh no, my Lord, oh man of God, do not lie to your servant. But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring. And Elisha, as Elisha had said to her. Now, when the child, verse 18, when the child had grown, he went out one day with his father. The child has now grown. I don't know how old the child was, but the child has grown and went out with his father and the reapers. And he said to his father, oh, my head, my head. And the father said to the servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again. And he said, why would you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, all is well. Then she saddled the donkey and she went to the servant. Urge the animal on. Do not slacken and pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, look, there is a Shunammite. Run at once and meet her and say to her, is all well with you? It's all well with your husband. It's all well with your son, your child. And she answered, all is well. And when she came to the mountain, to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I ask you, my Lord, for a son? Did I not say to you, do not deceive me? He said to Gehazi, tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. And if you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply. And lay my staff on his face, the face of the child. Then the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself leave, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went ahead of him and laid the staff on the child, but there was no sign, there was no life. Therefore he returned to meet with him and told him, the child has not awoken. When Elisha came to the house, he saw the child lying there on the bed, and eventually he raised the child back to life. Amen. This is the woman we are talking about. Now, there are some few things that I want us to know when God is working behind the scenes and uses your faith. This woman was wealthy. She had money. And yet, she committed herself to the man of God. She went her own way to build a house so that the man of God might find a place. I want to ask you, with the little that you have, you know, some people think when I get more, I can give more. You are lying. If you cannot give 1 rand from 10 rand, how would you be able to give 10,000 from 100,000? The bigger it becomes, the more scary it is, the more you want to keep. This woman, wealthy as she was, devoted herself to the work of God. And God is going to use that in the future. Secondly, this woman was married to an old man. That's what the Bible says. And yet, this woman respected the old man so much that she didn't do anything on her own. She knew at the time the loss of the land and all that, and could work with this man together to serve God. As couples, are we doing that? Are we serving together God? That's one thing I think we need to know. Thirdly, this woman was full of content. There was contentment. The man of God asked, what is it that you need I would do for you? If I were here, oh, the list will be I don't know how long. But she realizes that I have what I need. I live among my people. I don't have any problem. And for that, being content led to her generosity. When you are not content with what you have, you never give. Being generous comes from a heart of contentment. And that's something we need to pray God for. To be content what God has given you. It doesn't depend on millions. The little you have, the bananas you have at home, bring to somebody else. And so when God gives you a vehicle, you'll be able to give somebody a lift from church. That's what we need to learn from this woman. And God was going to use that to reward her. But you see, in the midst of all this, as I said, God knew the need. Look, we want to leave people behind. Even though the man was old, how he wished he had a son. But they came to a point they felt it will never work. It's not possible. But God knew it's possible. Things that seem impossible before men is possible with God. And he said, you will have a son. You will have a son. And God did that for them. For me, the most important thing about this woman's life that centered around everything is faith. The very day she set an eye on Elisha, he saw, this is the man of God. And so when Elisha comes, and this time I want to deduct something. It's not in the Bible, but I believe. Because the first time, when we read from chapter 4, the Bible says the man was old. They mentioned the name, the man, as old. You remember that? But in this chapter 8, the Bible mentions the household. Go with your household, not go with your husband. So it's possible that this woman had lost the husband at the time. Was a widow at the time. But she's still dependent on the man of God, the word of God. The question is, do we depend on the word of God? Do we trust the word of God? Sometimes we read the word of God and we say, that will not work. You know, this time is scientific. You know, we depend on what you Google and all that. But this word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it's Jesus himself. So he had faith to the point that even when the son died, you remember, he didn't even tell the husband, I don't want to give heart attack to my husband. Can you remember an old man? I've got this boy. I love him. I don't know how old, but let's go to the field. Now the boy is sick and say, hey, man. Oh, gone. He's dead. Maybe the man will get heart attack. But he had faith, knowing God will do something about this. I need a man of God. In times of trouble, where do you go? Some of us, we scare people around us. And everybody's in panic, running around. She didn't do that. She went straight to the man of God. She knew, says, I'm not leaving you. You must do something. You brought it to me. Give it back to me. And God did that. That's faith. Where is your faith? Christianity has been reduced into something today. Where is our faith in God? When the going get up, where is our faith? Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's able to do that. That's why she continued to have a relationship with the man of God. Some of us, when situation get off, that's when we run away from the church. You never have any connection with anybody. But let's look to God. Have a relationship with the man of God. And things will go well with us. And so, this woman's faith made her ready. Can you imagine? The man of God comes and says, hey, pack your things. You got a house. You got cars. You got everything. And he says, run away. No, man of God, no. Hold on. What do I do with the business that is that side, the business this way? But this woman left everything, knowing very well that he can become a destitute in a foreign land. He did that. She didn't care about xenophobia. She didn't care about what, in those days, widows were treated badly. She left everything and went. And that's faith that you know. I want to point one thing to you. Do you know that when we talk of heroes of faith in the Bible that Hebrews talk about, this woman is one of them. Her name is there. Most of us don't know. Her name is not mentioned, but she's there as one of the heroes of faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says in chapter 11, verse 33. Or 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of people like Gideon, Balak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms and enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Then, verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Hallelujah. Women, this woman said, no, until you bring she was attesting to resurrection. And she got it. Her name is there as a hero of faith. Do we have faith in the Lord? Or we just give up when things go bad? Finally, the last point, God works behind the scenes to restore what we have lost. There are certain things we lose and we think it's gone. But God, if you're a child of God, or even if you are sitting here and you don't know Jesus, God is able to restore you to himself. And that's the key message of this scripture that we read in chapter 8. In chapter 8, one word that is used 5 times is restored. In verse 1, the woman whose son Elisha had restored to life. Verse 5, and whilst he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son had been restored. And then he says, Elijah restored. And finally in verse 6, he says, restore all her. Restore. That is the key word of this passage we are considering this morning. The Lord has the power to restore you to where he wants you to be. This woman lost her son. Gone, dead. In those days, if you die, we bury you. But this woman said, no way. God can do something about it. The dream was gone, but I looked to God. I don't know what promise you had. I don't know what's in your life that you were holding, but you can't see it anymore. And I was amazed when Jeanette this morning spoke about Joseph. Joseph had a dream. He had a dream, and the father interpreted that, look, we are all going to bow before you. Now Joseph finds himself sold, and now in a pit. In a pit, not knowing what is happening. And all of a sudden they said, the king wants to see you. If I were Joseph, I would say, oh, that's it. Today is the last day. Can I have some coke or something before I die? But he comes, and the king says, I've had a dream. When he explained the dream, and he made a suggestion that get someone to lead and gather food. You know what the king said? Where can we get somebody better than you? All of a sudden, the dream comes true. What is your dream? What is it that you think has gone out of you? God is able to restore it back to you. Even Mordecai in Esther, the same thing happened. This man wanted to kill him. But on that day when he was supposed to die, the king could not sleep. He looked into the chronicles and realized that Mordecai had done something that needed to be rewarded. And on that day, Mordecai that was supposed to die, Haman rather died. God is able to do it for you. Brothers, our God works behind the scene. But you know what happens? When you read this and say, oh, how lucky this woman was. There's nothing like luck. Or you use different words. Oh, what a coincidence. Brothers and sisters, let's give glory to God when it's due. It's God when we pray. I remember some time ago we were praying. When we used to be in PCF, Peter Marisbeck Christian Fellowship, long time ago, we used to pray in the morning. And here we are. I had just come with my family from Zambia, and I was at school. And we were praying. One day, my boy come from school and says, Daddy, we almost had an accident. What happened? They were, you know, in the back of this bucky. And this guy takes them all over. And they almost died. It dawned on my heart and said, God, please help me get a lift. I will pay somebody to take my children to school. I went to Scottsville. And as the very first car, I went to see this woman standing there. And I said, Mom, do you stay anywhere around Pine Street? He said, which Pine Street? Which side? I said, the one near Long Market. He said, no, my house is just across the road. That is the place where CCP is at the moment. And this woman said, what's your problem? I said, I have my son. I need a vehicle. I will pay. He said, no, I will pick your boy. And that following day, my boy started going to school with this woman. God did that. It wasn't coincidence. God planned it. And you know what? This woman got sick. And by God's grace, Beatrice took care of this woman. Took care of the woman. She passed away. Not knowing that when she was passing away, she said her vehicle should be given to us free of charge. Brothers, our God works behind the scene. And we were praying in the church, even for a house. Through all this, the house that they were staying in, when the man was leaving, he says, Benson, I will help you buy this. I was a student. We were students. He says, I will help you buy this house. And indeed, he helped us. And we bought the house. That's where CCP is at the moment. God works behind the scenes. He's working. Whatever you find yourself in now, God is working behind the scenes. And a day will come and you need to give glory to God. Don't say you are lucky. You are not lucky. It's the blessing of God. It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. And so, let me finally say, all things work together for the good of those who know their God. Shall we stand together?